Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Everybody, to the 83rd episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. Who knew we would ever make it this far, right?
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. So,
and we have something very cool going on right now.
What is it?
It is, it's Con Month.
It's Con Month!
Yeah! Yeah!
Woo!
Everybody
what
cheer!
What is it? Con Month? I feel like we've got a lot of them.
Cheer to Christine.
It's Con Month.
Yay. Okay. So, everybody knows that come Anime Boston time, or a month before Anime Boston time, we have our Con Prep podcasts, and we do Con Month, and we switch it up a little bit every year. This year we have a completely different format, but we always love bringing a ton of guests onto our show. So today we have, let's start with me. I am
seated.
Am the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew, and with me is my brother, the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan.
Hi.
I'm sick. And we have the anime noob, Christine.
Hello.
And joining us over the radio waves, we have the fangirl, Victoria.
Hi.
And, of course, from the Boston Bastard Brigade, we have King Baby Duck Evan.
How are you actually doing this show when I know for a fact that you're playing Fire Emblem Fates, man?
I actually... You guys are stopping me from doing that! You know, so... Just don't bring it up right now, okay, Evan? And finally, as first time on the show, we have our good friend, John C. Riley.
Hi, everyone.
Brohawk Riley.
Brohawk Riley.
We really wanted to get John on so much earlier on our show because he's such an entertaining voice. But also, we're bringing him on this episode because for the first episode of Con Month, the way that we're doing things is we're doing two Tapagotchis. We're not doing any news. We're not doing what we're watching or anything like that. It might come up later, but, you know, we're not planning on doing that. We're just doing two Tapagotchis, both con-related. And first off, we're doing AMVs. And we always thought that John was very specifically very in tune to AMVs, so we definitely want him on for this episode. Yeah. So thank you for joining us, John.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. And, of course, after we talk about AMVs, we actually have a pretty good transition. And from AMVs into, we actually have a story about AMVs that will lead into our first con stories.
Yeah, our second topic is first con stories.
Second story that we'll all be discussing is our first con stories. And everybody loves hearing first con stories because they're so interesting.
Yeah, they're usually either really fun or really terrible.
Yeah. So, of course, a little bit behind Con Month again, as everybody knows, we start Con Month before Anime Boston. And Anime Boston is, I think, everyone here, right? This is our home convention.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, so we always do, like, we go to conventions all year round, or at least as much as we possibly can. We do the press thing, whatever we try to do, we just have fun. But Anime Boston is very special to all of us. And so that is why we surround our con month right before we go to Anime Boston.
Yeah, and not to mention...
My family doesn't understand it.
Yeah. not to mention, like, a ton of cons are strewed around this time of year. You know, the beginning of spring.
Yeah, it's the start of spring is con month. Con season.
Yeah, there's holidays, like, school vacations fall in line. So there's a whole slew of cons that come up. I mean, KatsuCon just happened. MAGFest is happening right now as we're recording. You know, so just so many huge things going on. And I hear that MAGFest right now is just the bomb. It's just like the best thing ever. And everybody goes to it. I heard that KatsuCon was great, but everybody completely trashed the Gaylord Convention Center.
Yeah.
Have you seen these stories?
Yes. Oh my God. It's a nightmare. And I'm surprised that this shit still happens. I mean, will this affect the KatsuCon in the future? I mean, I wouldn't be too surprised if some of these hotels are like, nope, these people aren't allowed to come here anymore.
What actually happened?
Isn't that what the Marriott's trying to do in New Boston?
There's a reason why you can't get an Anime Boston rate at the Marriott that's attached to the Prudential Center anymore. It's because they're like, we don't like congoers. And we're sitting over here going, we totally understand.
We're going to check in your hotel anyways.
Yeah. Actually, as a matter of fact, with a AAA discount, this year we've actually gotten the Marriott cheaper than we've ever gotten it since we started going to Anime Boston in 2008.
I will technically be at the Hilton, so not connected, but it's still a hotel.
It's technically a shorter walk than the Marriott.
You just need to go outside.
Outside in a big white dress with a wig that's going to be like 8 pounds on my head. This will be interesting.
I'm just crashing on 42 Believer's aunt's couch.
Yeah, we'll have Sarah.
42 Believer actually won't be there. It's just Evan is just crashing.
Are you really?
And it's actually not her couch. It's her doorstep. She doesn't know he's going to be there.
And by doorstep,
who is this weird old homeless man that's over here?
And by doorstep, we mean dumpster.
Yes.
So we all have our own convention stories, and we all have our own opinions on AMVs, which we're going to be starting with, and some fans may be very upset about things, what we have to say about AMVs.
I cannot wait to upset our fans about AMVs.
And then other people here have, we all have very differing opinions on AMVs.
Let's dive right into it. AMVs. I have, like, a 20-80 love-hate relationship with AMVs.
I would agree with that. I have about 80% hate AMVs, 20% love them.
I'm about 50-50 because sometimes I like a good AMV that acts as like a promotional thing that makes you want to watch the AMV. But then on the other hand, you have some folks who do AMVs and it tells a whole series.
Yes.
And you get everything spoiled. Case in point, the Tokyo Magnitude 8.0.
Oh my gosh, I was so angry. I was so angry.
Yeah. I would have to say I'm almost the complete reverse of you, saying that I'm a 80-20 in favor of AMVs, but there are AMVs that totally ruin animes in general because the fact that, let me see, like Wolf Children was completely ruined during Anime Boston when they had that Fidelity one by Sophilaris, I think. She goes by Sophie.
I know what you're talking about.
It's a great thing. It brings up a lot of like deep feels. But the fact that they actually, you can actually, that's like a mini movie. It's like Cliff Notes. It's like Wolf Children Cliff Notes.
I closed my eyes for that entire AMV. I spent the entire time looking at the ground the entire time that AMV was playing because I
Correction. They both sat there, hands over their ears. Nope. The whole
time. Because, okay, so
I don't blame you. I don't blame you whatsoever.
Yeah, so here is my complete definition of AMV where I like to say that people are like, oh, but I want to tell my story and I want to... You know, I want to convey a message. Well, here's the thing.
I want to give the feels.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Which sounds inappropriate.
You're taking a song that does not belong to you, and so that you don't own that property, so that's not yours. And you're taking an animation that you had no hand in creating, so that's not yours. And you're taking a story, and you're trying to tell your story from somebody else's story that you had no hand in creating. And yet you create a piece of property that's a little music video that spoils the entire series or show or movie for somebody that you have no license to any of it.
Yeah.
And so why do you have the right to spoil something for fans in its entirety?
Like, when you don't even own it.
Yeah, when you don't even own it.
If a creator made an AMV, like say that the only name that comes to mind right now is one. Like, say Ken Akamatsu made a Negima AMV of his own where he told the entire story of Negima in 4 minutes to I don't know, Weird Al's Eat It. And that would be perfectly fine, except for the fact that he used Weird Al's Eat It. You know, it doesn't really make any sense, so who cares? But Ken Akamatsu took his property and told his entire story in 4 minutes. He chose to do that.
Now, I'm not bashing, or I am bashing. But I want to make it clear that I just feel like there should be things in place, like, at conventions. Like, a convent, like, you go to an anime...
Like, spoilers, like...
Yeah.
Like, so spoiler like warning, spoiler we're about to ruin the anime for you.
Like, you go to an anime convention, so clearly you know that people are interested in anime, and people are there to discover anime, so why would they allow to show, like, openly show property to hundreds and maybe thousands of fans?
Actually, it's probably more like thousands, yeah, maybe tens of thousands.
Yeah, and that just spoils material without a spoiler warning in front of it. That's just the question I ask as far as conventions go.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't Anime Boston, before the AMV contest begin, has like a thing that says this may contain bad language, violence, spoilers, and sexual situations?
Yeah, but no one really reads that.
I don't remember that.
I don't think so.
Because you two are too busy complaining the entire time.
I was going to say, wouldn't you pretty much just take it for granted that that would happen anyways during an AMV? It's clips from a show. If you haven't seen it, regardless, no matter what, there's going to be something that you haven't seen. Or there might be a spoiler in there.
That's absolutely true. But there are ways to do it because there are people who tell stories from beginning to end chronologically. But then there are also people who make AMVs, which are great, that are just like clips of a show, you know, out of context.
But still, that's the chance that you take.
Right, which is why I don't feel like it should be shown publicly to a bunch of fans who are also watching that same show.
I think that the AMVs don't belong on YouTube in general because the fact that, like what you said, they're taking someone else's musical property, someone else's video property, ruining the story itself. They're pretty much like the anime version of Jinx on YouTube where they're just stealing everything and becoming more popular than any of your content has been. And there's two polar opposites when you have... You have somebody like Sophie who ruins an entire anime with someone else's song, but then you have Baka Opai who's the complete opposite with his anime 101, 102, 20, like where it's just ridiculous stuff.
Like anime
mixed
hells.
Like somebody changing the channel, and also he's a lot more creative because he's pretty much showing you how he's transitioning from social media. He actually makes a fake Facebook, and like it's so awesome to see that, and it's a reoccurring theme that comes on. So when you're at you're at Anime Boston, you assume that you're going to see another Baka Opai where it's like anime 102 or like 404 or 505 or 606, and you're going to laugh your ass off.
Actually, as a matter of fact, if you haven't seen the newly updated rules on the Anime Boston page this year, they say that they will no longer accept submissions for anime hell style videos.
Really?
Hell style or hell style?
Hell style.
Yeah, anime hell.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
Yep. So we will probably not see Baka Opai there again.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But I have to give a lot of credit to him. I actually find his videos kind of annoying. However.
You mean the Wi-Fi insurance?
They honestly find most of the AMV portion annoying. I make them sit there.
Yeah. However, I revel in his ability to use After Effects and his editing.
Yeah.
He's an absolutely amazing editor, and like he deserves everything that he gets when he gets awards. I just think his videos are annoying.
All right. Victoria, what's your opinion of AMVs?
Oh, I get to talk now? Now that you've all like...
We were getting to it. Come on.
I was trying, and then every time I went to talk, someone like, nope, I'm going to rant about this.
There's six of us here, okay?
Anyways... this is not going to be a shocker to anyone who's probably listened to me talk. I absolutely love AMVs. I am that person. I actually found a couple different series that I started watching because of the AMVs from Anime Boston. And mostly because I am someone who I really do enjoy spoilers. If I see something that I like in the
that's
series...
so wrong.
Shut up. If I see something... that, you guys got to rant. It's my turn. So... But there's things in it like, oh, that couple's going to get together in that point. I can root for them and not get my hopes destroyed like usual. So, like, maybe I'll watch this series. And it makes me a bit more interested in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was upset at the Wolf Children one. I didn't get to see it because I actually haven't gotten to see the movie yet. These certain two people keep telling me they're going to show me the movie and then they just don't.
Well, somebody lives in Florida now.
Not my fault. I am there for the cons all the time. And in May, I move back. So this is why paying for Anime Boston is really difficult.
We'll have a Mamoru Hosoda day then.
Fine. Anyways, but yeah, I really do enjoy AMVs. I've actually made one. People, it's just one lame one. It was from Romeo x Juliet with, what was it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep. Oh my god, my cats attacked the door. But but yeah, it's with Remember the Name. It's the Red Whirlwind, and I am very proud of that AMV because it was the first one I ever made, and I thought it came out pretty cute. But yeah, like, I like AMVs. Yeah. I feel like if you really are going to be like, oh, this is spoiling everything, they shouldn't be showing these to people, get your ass out of your seat and leave. Like, literally, it's the end of the event. You know it. At the opening, closing ceremonies, they always do the same pattern. Thank everybody, they'll close it up, they'll do everything up to the end, and then all of a sudden it's done.
Right, that's the closing ceremony.
However, they'll do the announcement, but, and then you just leave.
I just kind of feel like as somebody who's like taken up a career in story writing, like I've made a career in story writing, I like to write stories, I just thought how upset I would be if somebody took my story and told it to somebody in 4 minutes after I spent like 4 years already writing it.
That's actually a good point. That is a very good point.
Not to mention, too, there are AMVs that, let's talk about the AMVs that I love.
Yeah, the 20%.
Like, for example, last year I saw the greatest AMV that I will ever see in my entire life. I still watch it to this day whenever I'm feeling sad.
Can I guess it?
Yes, you can. Go.
Repeat Stuff by Bo. Yes. I was just looking that up. Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
It's so perfect.
We will have a link in the description to Bo Burnham's reiterate things AMV. It is the greatest.
It's a comical song, you know, that's really great and deserves to be heard by everybody because it's very creative. And then it's a whole bunch of different anime, almost in the same way that the AMV Hell, you know, AMVs go.
Lovely.
There's just no way that they could show you something that you would see it as a spoiler. Because it's just mashed together with all these different things, and they're all arbitrary, like the anime boys boy bands dancing on stage. Right. You know, there's no way that you could say that, like, oh, that's a spoiler in the series.
Leah AMV spelled, I think it's LLEIA AMVs. That's the original producer of the AMV Reiterate Things, which is the Bo Burnham. Because Bo Burnham is just unbelievable itself. And the fact that he I don't know what he's doing right now, but coming from Boston and seeing the fact that he had a background in magic, and now he's, he's one hell of a performer because he's not just jokes. He actually, like you, Andrew, is just a story writer. He pretty much creates an atmosphere and a theme. And it's more or less like a play with jokes itself right here.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yeah, really.
You know, see, that's funny, too, because I'm really not familiar with Bo Burnham, but I saw this and I was just like, I'm on board. But there's also those other AMVs, too, that I know, John, in, I think, 2014, you had a problem with it because it was a Kill la Kill AMV that was just a dubstep.
Yes. No. More than that, it's... The particular editor, the person that makes AMVs, their YouTube page is Because I'm Bored 1, and I did not like the fact... Well, I don't like... Evan can attest to this. I do not like Kill la Kill whatsoever, and it's
you've
so
told
weird.
Me this so many times.
It's so weird, because you think that me being a huge Eros and Yi, like a huge like pervert sometimes... You think I would be totally on board with this, but I am so complete the opposite of Kill la Kill. It's great that the story, but it is complete fan service. And the fact that this is on Cartoon Network, and it's so... I don't like when my anime is sexualized. And it comes from my background of enjoying, like, Dragon Ball Z. Or, more importantly, I'm a huge Naruto fan. And I'm a diehard Naruto fan. And I believe that it's just... Anime is great, and it doesn't need the sexualized content. And sometimes you can even learn things.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, not only was that, it was set to dubstep, but that's not even a huge problem. It literally was the condensed version of all the sexualized stuff on Kill la Kill, and it just kind of made me sick. So it's like, you're taking the easy way out. But it's like the winner from 2014, I think, was Future Diaries with Blank yeah. Page oh, with God, Taylor Swift, and it won. Why? Because it's Taylor Swift, and it's Future Diary, and it was horrible, and you did not deserve to win that. Yeah.
Sorry.
Lovely.
That's a weird thing, too, because Future Diaries is a terrible anime. So.
But everybody loves it.
Everybody loves Mary.
Just shovel it in. Shovel it in.
Yeah.
See, I think it's funny because, I always thought that Kill la Kill, the point of it was because of the fan service. Like, they were...
Well, it's satirical.
Yeah, it's satire, exploitation of sexual content. And I actually thought, recently, I thought of a great AMV that would go with Kill la Kill. Kill la Kill going to Come Out and Play by the Offspring. Because the opening line to that song in it is, like the greatest of fashions, like a spreading disease, the kids on the way to their classroom getting weapons with the greatest of ease. That's the opening line to the song, and that is Kill la
That's
Kill.
Kill la Kill.
Yeah, that is the synopsis of Kill la Kill.
Not to mention that you also have Take Him Out, so you have Ryoko Matoi being like talking to Satsuki, you disrespecting me, and then you have like a little Mako in the background, take him out, gotta keep him separated.
Yeah,
copyright Wicked Anime.
Yeah,
nobody else can take that.
The complete opposite of another fan service, I think, is the anime Free, and I was so not on board with their it was like every time we touch thing where it was just made it even more like more sexual toward the
I'm sorry, I really enjoyed that.
to the homosexual and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm totally on board, and it wasn't that. It just made me feel really uncomfortable. And and Free, I guess I wasn't on board.
I feel
with
like
Free.
All the girls are screaming and the guys are the ones I'm trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, us guys have our own swimming anime coming up soon.
Yeah.
So.
Oh no, but the thing is, I was so on board with the last one. I think the last Free I said at Anime Boston, I was so on board with it. Has anybody seen the Fangirl Chronicles?
Yeah, that one was great where they mixed up Watsubote.
Yes, with Cecilia Phantom Hive. It was like, wow, I was so on board, and that's one AMV because if an AMV captures you and makes you remember a song or how great it is or how awesome the skill is, like whether it be Baka Opai and it's just impressive skills, but anytime you hear that song, you remind yourself or you picture the AMV in your head, that makes it an indelible impression.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's what the Taylor Swift one did for me, damn it.
No, I agree with...
But in the wrong way, very wrong way.
I agree with John, though, because every time I hear... Like, as much as it's like, well, they're okay, like, I kind of like them, and now they're terrible. Imagine Dragons Radioactive to that Evangelion thing was the best.
Because the timing was really so perfect when it's like, breathe it out, and all of a sudden you see the Evangelion go... Like that,
and
I was like, oh.
And I love Evangelion so much, and that song was just like, wow.
It was made for
that. That translates so well, and like, because you're singing about like this apocalyptic wasteland, and like, Evangelion is so gritty, yet so action-y.
And no spoilers.
Yeah,
and yes.
And everything about Evangelion, like, you can't show anything in Evangelion without spoiling something, but they did it.
That's clever. When you're clever about it and you match it up and you appreciate it, it's like one part, I love this song. Other parts, I love this anime. Third part, I can actually watch it over and over again without having to worry about spoiling everything. Like You Are Not Alone. It's like, I can watch that and I don't have to worry about like, you know, oh my gosh. It's like, even though I've seen it, it makes me want to watch it again. That's the reason why it's like I try to steer clear. But if I see somebody doing a really clever Summer Wars one, it's like, yeah, I'm totally on board.
Yeah,
it could be done with Summer Wars for sure.
It was actually the same thing with one of the winners, one of the previous years too, with AOL Nation. Or is it? Yeah,
AOL Nation.
AOL Nation with the song Sail. And it was like all those ghost story ones. Like there was a...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
That was really creepy and it was really well done. Like that song is okay, but the AMV was just like, wow, this song really fits to it. That's really well done.
I hate my personal opinion on the AMVs in general are it's great to highlight great editors who are using this not as a living, but is an actual hobby that they're doing within maybe their college film editing classes and everything, like taking your skills, like me, when I'm taking my skills as far as graphic design or web design, mm-hmm. using that as another thing outside of assignments to hone your skills, and then hopefully, like, yes, because no one other than you honestly can't make money off of this on YouTube, yeah. because you're using so much content, and you're lucky even if it exists and it doesn't get like a DMCA, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, especially nowadays.
Exactly, mm-hmm. nowadays yeah. with YouTube's content ID stuff. But it's great to highlight it, and it if they don't even win, the fact that you get to see it on a huge screen and then people cheer for it gives yes. you such a high. And it's like, man, I wanna do this so much because there's so many great ideas yep. out there.
Yeah.
But it's like, I love that. But I honestly detest any creepy horror ones that have a horrible song. I don't know about you guys, but if I hate the song and it's not a poppy song, like there were a lot of horror ones with songs that it's like, oh, if I have to listen to the Tokyo Ghoul theme in Japanese one more time, I'm going to, like, you know, just, I'm going to jump off a building because it's like,
So, okay, transition stories from AMVs into First Con stories. We have a First Con story that relates to AMVs that will bring us right into...
Why I hate AMVs so much, as a matter of fact.
And Jonathan and I share this together because, okay, first convention ever... was Anime Boston 2008. I think everybody knows this.
LineCon.
Known as LineCon. And we loved that convention.
It was the best thing ever.
Yeah, it was the best thing ever. Jonathan and I had the best time on the face of the planet, and, you know, that was our last year of
high school. It's all
history. Yeah, that was our last year of high school. But we went to the Masquerade that year. And
Don't do. That's a First Con story for a little later.
And they went... you know, and showed the AMVs like they normally do at the Masquerade because they show them like 3 times a year or at the convention. And they showed a Death Note AMV.
Yes, a Bird and the Worm. That was actually my second one. That I was actually working for Anime Boston as an audio tech.
Really?
Video guy. Yeah, so I actually got that job from my college because you guys were finishing high school, I was actually on my last year of audio production at AI. And I do remember because they literally went from beginning to end and ruined. You could literally just sit there and watch.
Yeah, they took every single major plot point and just sequentially this happens and then this happens and then this happens and then this happens. And I was there. I'm like, wait, stop. And then
you guys for this?
I think so. And then
I vaguely remember you two freaking out.
Katrina covered Andrew's eyes.
Yes.
Because she like grabbed me and was like, "No, don't look." Because I was watching Death Note as this was happening.
Yeah, it was on Adult Swim, and they weren't even at the L arc yet. We just got introduced to L,
and I'm looking down like not watching it, and then I look up, and there's the end of the show, that final freeze frame from the show, and I was like, my heart just shattered. And I was just like, I can't believe this. First convention ever.
Yeah, and...
I was shocked. I was like, how can Andrew...
They came back, though.
What was that?
Andrew and I were booing at the top of our lungs.
I remember that.
We were at the very back of the auditorium. There was like 5,000 people in there. And Andrew and I are sitting in the back. And you just hear like...
That is the epitome of what you guys, and I don't blame you for having that stance now, because that is the epitome of a bad AMV. It's clever and cool if you've actually watched it, almost like if you've already read the manga and you already know the story. It's cool to see it in a music video form, but it will ruin. It is the epitome of Cliff Notes. It is like Wolf Children. It ruins the entire experience of you watching it.
Like the adventure, like the whole idea of watching something is the adventure of discovering it yourself. So, and that was just ripped away from us. That was our first convention. And that was my first exposure to, you know, really checking out. I mean, I've seen AMVs on, you know, amateur AMVs on YouTube and stuff before that. Cause Jonathan and I hadn't been into anime for that long since then. Like I had, first we watched.
Like a year.
Yeah. We watched Cowboy Bebop. Then I discovered Elfin Lied. And then I was like, oh, well, what can I find? And so I watch AMVs. I actually found Elfin Lied through an AMV even. Like my favorite anime ever through an AMV. That's amazing. But
Rammstein.
Yeah. Oh, Rammstein. Yeah. That was Helsing.
Oh,
well, and then I go to a convention and I was like, you can What happened? Like you can actually do that? That's I don't understand. And like, I was just so broken by it. But the rest of the convention was fun. So that transitions into first convention stories. Oh boy.
Yay.
So everybody here obviously has been to their first convention ever. Even Christine, the anime noob, has been to her first convention ever.
Which I believe was Anime Boston? Or did you go to photography with your dad for a while?
No, Anime Boston 2012 was my first.
Yeah, interesting. Cool.
Right, so we'll get into... Actually, then do you want to start? Do you want to tell us about a cool con story from your first year at Anime Boston?
That was a long time ago.
Well, I can tell you a cool story about your first experience at Anime Boston.
Please do.
So, Christine, we were all at Anime Boston. It was me.
Victoria, you were here for this.
Me, Jonathan, Victoria, and we were all just up in our hotel room. And Christine was messaging us, like, what are you guys doing? You know, like, what are you doing? Do you remember this now?
I do. I was watching Star Wars.
Yeah, do you want to continue?
For the first time ever.
Do you want to continue the story then?
Sure.
Just, like, the series of texts, how you ended up, like, in the hotel room sitting with us.
I remember this. We're like, what?
So I was home. It was Easter weekend. And I remember I was so excited. Everyone was home from college. At the time, I was the only commuter friend, so I was so excited. I'm like, everyone's home, yay! And then I found out they weren't home. And then they were at a convention in Boston, and I was, at the time, I'm like, anime? That's weird.
No, at the time, what are you talking about? You're still that way.
You're a little bit, you're now just familiar with it.
Yeah.
It's not as weird, though.
I was watching Star Wars because Jonathan had gotten me the VHS version. I had never seen it before. And then I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I'll hang out with everyone this weekend, not realizing, again, that it was Anime Boston. So I was texting and realized, you know what, I'm not going to see anyone unless I go to this convention. So I went, and I had a good time, and I decided to go back the next day.
Yeah, you had such a good time that your parents actually bought you your next day ticket.
No, they did not. No, they bribed me because I think they wanted me to get out of the house. But I remember buying my own ticket. But I do remember the people at AB were very nice and let me buy the weekend pass. So they just like upgraded my pass the next day.
Oh, that's cool.
It didn't make me pay another full day.
Yeah. Great.
That's one thing I do remember, that the staff at AB was very nice.
Staff at AB is always really great. Like, they make the show.
So, ever since I've been going, I do have to admit my favorite con is Rhode Island Comic Con. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, so what's your first experience with your first Comic Con as compared to your first anime convention?
I understood it more.
When is the next one of those?
It's in November. I believe it's November 9th through 11th. If anyone
then, Christine,
wants to go
can me. I go with you as my Absolutely. First ever Comic Con? Because I've been dying to go to one.
But anyway, so like my first convention at AB, I was like a lost puppy. I didn't really know what was going on. I go as more, I feel like the lackey. I go and help everyone out. I carry bags. I keep everyone's sanity.
You break your foot.
The next year, I broke my foot. And the week before, so that was fun. This year I have my Fitbit, so I'm looking forward to seeing how many steps I'll get.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody's going to be Fitbitting. Just be like, look at my Fitbit!
That'll be my challenge this year.
I got my steps in!
But then last year, I actually participated in a panel with you guys.
Yeah, right? Your first panel?
My Wife Who's Not Weird, which I never thought in a million years I would ever do. And I found out that my nerdy coworkers actually go to the con, and it was fun.
I remember my first reaction to go into a convention. It was Anime Boston 2008 again.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Thursday night, we went to pre-registration, which thank goodness we did. Otherwise, we would have been in line for 8 hours on Friday. And we went on Thursday night. We got into line, and we were there for like, I don't know, an hour and a half maybe.
Probably about a half hour even. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was in the convention hall though, and we were sitting in line, and it was the first time we had ever seen cosplayers in public, and we were like, it's not even the con yet, and people were dressed up for Thursday night. And Andrew and I went through line, we got our badges, we were walking out, and we were like, Andrew, these people are nerds. We were like so culture shocked. Like the first time we ever went, we were so culture shocked that I was like, you know what? I'm not embarrassed to be a nerd myself anymore because I'm around all these people who are really, truly nerds.
So I guess my first con experience was probably when I was much younger because I remember being in Boston and seeing people dressed up in cosplay.
But that you didn't actually go to the convention.
I did not, no. Yeah. But I'm just saying, the idea that people were dressing up in, quote, costumes was weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that John and Victoria do.
Hell yeah.
I appreciate your creativity.
Yes, yes.
I'm trying to remember the first reaction you guys had to me in costume. That's what I'm trying to remember right now.
I think I turned my head sideways and was like, what are you?
I don't know.
I can't remember what I was that year either. I'm like trying to remember.
What it was
the year before you made James a shoujo character.
Oh.
I may dress up for part of a day this year. I haven't decided.
Hey.
James is dressing up with me this year again.
Wait, he's doing something other than Thor?
Yes, he's doing something a little different than Thor.
Jonathan, that might mean that you might have to. Sorry.
I can give you a hint, though. If you, it's a couple, definitely.
Luffy and Nami.
I have huge pink hair and a white dress.
He's going as Lady Beard.
No, I'm going as Rose Quartz from Steven Universe.
Yes.
Which would make James what, boys?
I don't know.
Steven.
Is he Steven?
No, it's a couple.
I don't watch Steven Universe. I don't know.
The dad.
Okay, thank you, Evan. Dad. God.
Oh, he would
except
fit
the
that
younger
part
version,
well.
Not the fatter old man.
I may be going as Velma.
That would be amazing.
I dressed up for that for Halloween.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's a professional hairstylist who's going to help me with the wig since her hair is for days. So
very nice.
See my track record on favorite animes. What do you guys think I'm going to be dressing up as?
Oh,
Naruto. Gee, I don't.
Yeah, well, not as Naruto, but you're going to be an Uchiha of some sort. I'm guessing.
Yes. I think out of the 6 times that I've been to Anime Boston, I've cosplayed 5 times.
Yeah.
And they have all been Naruto themed characters. And yeah,
last year you were your own original Uchiha.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was hilarious.
And then I know you have a Tobi costume.
Yep.
I know you actually do have Naruto gear.
Yeah, I was actually I don't know what happened to my vest and all the other stuff, but I think I was Asuma, and I was kind of limited because of my facial hair for the majority of cosplay. But now that I have blonde hair and no beard, I can just do whatever I want. So yeah, I'm gonna be wearing a wig. I'm gonna be Obito.
I knew it! I was going to say Obito.
I love Obito. I played the game. I'm so devastated in the story mode for the Naruto Storm 4, but that's another story altogether. Yeah. But the thing is, yeah. I love Obito. He's such an awesome character. But yeah, being the adult version right after he's unmasked and loses that sleeve and stuff. And also getting together with my friend named Vince Clapper, who's an American Ninja Warrior veteran. He's been on the show a bunch of times. He's going to be cosplaying as Kakashi. So we're going to do a team effort, so it's going to be pretty dope.
Are you guys going to be running around, like, climbing up walls and stuff now?
Yes, we are. We're going to be attacking other people. We're going to be attacking... the cool thing is that I love about being a part of the anime culture and cosplaying is it almost lets you see kind of like They Live, the movie with Roddy Piper. You get to see other things that are not normally seen by the naked eye, or you just be becoming this part of community where it's like you walking around, you take pictures, and people just kind of ignore you, you kind of disappear. But when you're in cosplay, people come up to you and want to talk to you, or they love your costume and give you a thumbs up, or you're able to approach other people and have this awesome conversation with them and just share things. It's
a great...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It is such a great feeling. Even when I was cosplaying as Krieger from Archer, I still had people coming up to me going, some girl actually came up and goes, can you choke me? What? I was like, okay. So I actually posed and took a picture. Somebody actually has a picture of me dressed as Krieger choking their girlfriend.
That's love right there.
That is insane.
I actually had an opposite experience with cosplaying. I cosplayed for 3 of the 5, 6 years that we've been going to Anime Boston. And I only got like 2 pictures taken of me in the first 3 years that I was cosplaying. I went as Nauta from Fooly Cooly. And I only got like 2 pictures taken of me ever. The first year that we went to Anime Boston with our new Wicked anime t-shirts, 3 pictures in one day. Yeah. Like, it was like, we go as...
Was I 2 of them?
No.
Are you sure?
That doesn't count, Christine.
My first non-anime convention?
Any convention. You're just the first con story.
Oh, God. First con story. Let's see.
I'll get the prune juice ready.
Yeah. Oh, Billy. Yeah. All right. We're going to pretend like the conventions that didn't have... Oh, gosh. All right. 98.
All right.
I was 7.
You cosplayed as a Native American and threw tea off the side of a boat.
Yes. No, actually, I didn't cosplay for that. It was actually not an anime-themed convention. It was in Boston near Chinatown at the it was a Sheraton or whatever, and, down near Chinatown. We would park in Chinatown. We would go in there, and they had like, you know, the 17th floor or the 20th floor or whatever, just dedicated. And it was a comic book convention. Mm-hmm. And we weren't really there for comic books because we were there for the bootleg VHS movies. And, nice. We were there particularly for like old school Jackie Chan movies and everything. But then all of a sudden somebody introduced me to a new movie called Storm Riders, which is based off of, I think, a Chinese or Japanese. I think it was actually a Chinese comic book that I actually bought a bunch of them when I was in Hong Kong back in the day. But because I sought them out. But it was so cool because I never knew that they were able to make like a live action. You could almost say a live action animated movie with some cool stars. And I was like, yes. And then all of a sudden they were like, we have bootleg animes. And it was way before video editing existed when it came to adding subtitles with digitally. Yeah. So people had a teletype where they had to overlay over a VHS thing, and they had to do the typing themselves. And they did – there were great ones, and there were horrible ones. And you – and like a YouTube video, you had to sort out, okay, who made this? Who subbed this? Oh, this person subbed it. Great, I'm buying it. Because I know that they, not only do they make jokes during the transitions, like, you know, we'll be back after these messages, like the title screen – in between commercials, they actually made jokes or made fun of people or made jokes or jokes about other animes. But yeah, we appreciated those. And I think that one of my favorite ones that I got was Virtual Fighter, when Virtual Fighter was actual anime back in the day.
Yep.
And I bought a mm-hmm. bunch of them, and I just loved them to death. And it was a crapshoot. You didn't know that you were going to find the right ones. And it was, God, they had a stranglehold on anime fans back in the day.
That's awesome. That is a fascinating story. Yeah, it really is. That's awesome.
I wish I was there during those days, honestly, because I would have relished in like being able to get those videos and just watching them. You know, like just pick one up at random and try it. You know?
And sometimes they had Japanese commercials on them. It was pretty
nice.
Cool.
Nice. That's really cool. All right, Victoria, first con story, go.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure my first con was, I want to say 2005.
For Anime Boston?
2005 or 2004.
And was that when they first went to the Heinz?
Yeah, it was definitely at the Heinz.
Okay, because...
I think that was 2005.
I think in 2003, they were at the Park Street, or the...
I think 2004 as well.
Yeah, 2003 and 2004, then and then 2005.
All right.
No, and then 2005, they transitioned to Heinz Convention Center.
So, yeah. So I believe it was 2005.
Okay.
I don't know if I've talked about how my family exactly sees anime with you guys.
I don't think so.
So, my family, I'm already the weird one. my brother is kind of, like, my brother and all my cousins are kind of more like sports and video games. I absolutely love video games. But, like, I'm the only girl, except we just adopted my little sister 2 years ago. But I've been the only girl for a long time. And my whole family is like, you need to be girly. Like, why don't you go buy makeup and stuff like that or go with jewelry? I'm like, I'm going to go watch my video games, please. Thank you. And I got really, really hooked on anime really fast. And I actually have one other family member who actually knows what anime is and watches it with me. He's my uncle. And he constantly would, like, when I lived with him, like, I lived with him and my grandparents, he would give me anime, but because you guys know I'm a marathon monster, I would, like, burn through it in a day, like, an entire season. And he's like, no, you're supposed to watch, like, one disc a week, Victoria. I'm like, no, I want to watch it all. So he would literally prevent me from doing it all. He'd give me one at a time. He's like, that's after awesome. Next week, after if you have your grades are good, I'll give you the next disc. And I was like, that's not fair. Yeah, it was tough, you guys.
The struggle is real.
But he told me about the anime convention in Boston. He had gone once or twice, and he's like, yeah, there's a big convention. I'll take you if you want to go. And I remember, like, we got a little lost in the subway, and we followed a Toru Honda. We followed Toru from Fruits Basket, guys.
Your favorite.
I'm like, I know who that is. And this girl, I don't even think she knew we were behind her. It was super creepy because it was like this 50-year-old man and a girl just following this girl in a blue skirt.
And a freshman girl in high school.
Right? This was actually the year before freshman year.
Really? So then it was probably 2004 because 2004 we were freshmen in high school.
I'm a year after you guys, though.
Yeah, we were freshmen in 2004.
Wait. For half the year, and then it turned 2005.
It did.
That's true. But anyway. I know it was at the high school. I know that. But, like, I'm pretty sure it was the year before my freshman year. Because I had already been really into it. But yeah, so he took me, and literally, I'm running around like a little kid, super excited. And I remember him constantly saying he doesn't want to feel like a creep. Like, he won't even go with me anymore. Like, he'll sometimes show up, and I'll be like, wait, you came? What? What's going on? And he's like, I can't go anymore, because now I'm just the old creepy guy in the corner. And I'm like, no, you're not. But he secretly is. And it's just like, I remember just feeling so happy and just having all these people here that understand my crazy. Like, I remember opening my locker at school and having, like, anime stuff on the inside. And everyone like, what the hell is that? You're still into cartoons? I'm like, yeah, I am. What's your point? May have gotten picked on, but it's cool.
I mean, just if it makes you feel any better, yesterday we went to the mall and we were looking at all the plushies in the Disney store, and somebody I knew from college came up to me and was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
like, and legitimately, I still
this is the first time
now.
I've ever met her, and I was like, looking at Disney stuff.
Oh, it was my freshman year of high school because I joined Braintree High with you guys in, I joined in sophomore year. So it was my freshman year, sorry. Okay. So yes, 2005. But yeah, nice. And then I remember my first year cosplaying was 2006, because Dana, and she was like, we need Sakura from Tsubasa, right. We have everyone else, and I was like, okay, I'll do it, because I want friends, and that sounds fine, and I had no friends, because I was that person who transferred into a public school from Catholic school, so I didn't know anybody, and I was just like, okay.
Fast forward 10 years, now you have friends and you go to cons all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was amazing.
Take note of that, Victoria. Happy 10 years of cosplay. Thanks, Christine.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah, don't talk about oh my god with the length of span. I've been doing it for like 20 years, so don't feel so bad.
No, I'm just like, wow, whoa. We totally pulled out my cosplay box last night and ran around our apartment in wigs last night. It creeped out my other roommate. His girlfriend was there. We just opened the door. Hey! And all of, like, multicolored and different length wigs. And my guy friend was in heels, and it was ridiculous. It was awesome.
We learned from your experience. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
I wear cosplay in public now. I wear my Naruto's Shippuden jacket over my hooded sweatshirt. And I was actually outside yesterday taking pictures, you know, in Salem and... what do you call it, Lynn Beach and everything, and it's the fact that, like, I'm trying to blend, kind of like, you know, I really appreciate when people were able to, like, you know, blend cosplay into actual real and make it work.
Then there's the people who just, they don't want to blend it. They want to stand out and get the attention.
Yeah. I see a lot more people just wearing wigs now. Like,
just wearing
pure white wigs or like dark blue wigs. It's really interesting.
Yeah. I walked into a Hot Topic yesterday and somebody complimented me on my Fooly Cooly shirt. I was happy.
Yay. I know, because I came back from going somewhere else and he's like, somebody just recognized my shirt. I'm like, awesome.
Evan, go ahead. First con story.
Well, like yours, my first con was Anime Boston 2008.
Awesome.
So just so people know, like, before I even went to a con, I was very, very hesitant to actually go to a convention because I thought it was going to be stupid. I don't know why I had this sort of mindset. Oh, why are these people dressing up? That's so dumb.
Christine's over here just nodding her head furiously.
Why? Because she's like the same way too?
You're not agreeing. Alone. You are not alone.
You're agreeing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I overheard that the Pillows were going to be playing at Anime Boston.
Yes.
Now I had already seen the Pillows and had met Sawao Yamanaka a couple years beforehand at the Knitting Factory show back in 2005. But it was their first Boston performance, and I wanted to go and support them there. So my friend helped me with registering and everything. I get in, and yes, I'm excited. This is going to be my first convention. So we all, unlike Andrew and Jonathan, who were smart and went on Thursday night,
yep,
we decided to go in on Friday after our classes are over at 4 p.m.
LineCon!
Yes. Sure. The Great Weight of 08. We get there, and the line to get into the convention, this was back when the line was set up not at the hotel, but actually inside. The line was just all across the con.
That is a good onomatopoeia for a line.
I was going to ask if you could do that again.
So we get there, and at the point that we are standing at to get into this convention, it would have been an 8-hour wait to get our passes. It was 6 p.m.
Wow.
We were not gonna get in on Friday whatsoever.
Wow.
So we go really, really, really early. Like, we are at the Heinz Convention Center at 6 a.m. to get in for Saturday. Huh. And already the line is crazy.
Really?
But not too crazy.
No, I did that my first year. And that's when I actually ran into one of my college friends.
Once the doors opened, it took us another hour to actually get in there. And we were actually very close to the front, and yet it still took us an hour to get in there. So we're just basically bumming around, just having a good time. And then the line for the Pillows opens. So I decide to sit my butt down immediately so I don't lose the place. And this was like the first event ever at Anime Boston where every single seat in the big room was filled to capacity.
Yeah, I was there. I was in the balcony. They put us up in the balcony.
Yeah. So when I finally got to sit down and watch the Pillows performance, they had us sitting at what we now like to call the press area.
Yeah. Air quotes, and for press.
Yes, and for those of you who don't understand, when they sit press down for certain events at Anime Boston, they have us sitting all the way down on the right-hand side in front of the big screen.
Yeah, front row, right-hand side in the corner of the convention.
Where the podium is blocking your view.
Exactly!
That's why if you're the photographer,
just walk around.
Just separate from everyone.
So basically, watching this Pillows concert with almost like breaking my neck, like turning my whole head to like a 45 degree angle just to see Shinichiro Sato. Sorry, I got the two Shinichiros mixed up. Shinichiro Sato on the drum set. I could barely see like Yoshiaki Manabe, the other guitarist of the group, too. It was nuts that we waited this long and these were the seats that we had. But at the same time, I was so happy to be watching the Pillows on stage once more.
Yeah. You watched Love and Response before them too, right?
What?
Remember Love and Response?
Oh, yes.
They opened
yes.
the pillows and they were like, what is going on?
I was a little irked because when the pillows were touring, they had the band Noodles, who are awesome. They're like the Japanese version of the pillows, but I mean, not the Japanese version. They're like,
oh,
I mean, I'm sorry. They are like the female version of the pillows. They're under the same label and everything, but they're awesome. And they're a band I have all their albums of as well. But Love and Response?
Yeah.
Really?
Remember, the only thing they could say in English was, "Hey, Boston!" It's not even English. It's just like they say "A" and then the name of the city. Like, and that's all they said all weekend long was, "Hey, Boston!" Like, whenever you saw
them. I remember that opening ceremony. It's just, "Hey, Boston!" That's all
"Hey, Boston!"
And then they just kind of step back.
That was...
Okay.
That's
maybe
more Latin than English.
Boston, eh? Boston, eh?
Hey, guys, I got something funny. Not to make you guys upset or nothing like that, but since I was actually working that con, I was actually doing my stuff, working the door, and then all of a sudden I just walked right in and got the best seat possible for the pillows, which was like, you know, above the balcony, center, perfect straight on through. It was great.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I think that's hilarious.
But what the hell happened to Love and Response? They had that one appearance, and like they just vanished, not just from the American, but in Japan too. They've done nothing since that time.
Well, see, the
what
thing
was
is,
the point?
Too, is Love and Response, they also, one of them sang, and then three of them like walked around on stage and walked around on stage. Like,
it was like a friggin' fashion show.
It's like a K-pop.
But that's what it was.
Yeah. They would walk on and off and like in different costumes. They wouldn't dance. They wouldn't sing. They just were there to exist. And like one of them sang. And that was Love and Response. It was weird.
It was a fashion show. Okay. So we were treated to a...
yes, the response was bad.
No love in their response.
Yeah.
What...
But seeing the pillows live again, that was great. Now, I didn't wind up... Well, actually, no. I did go a little bit on Sunday, the following day. I had a little bit more fun there. But because I had tickets to see Avenue Q for a matinee, I couldn't stay there for too long.
I don't blame you.
I
want to
see that so
great
bad.
Upgrade for that day. Great show.
No, it is. One of the best musicals I've ever seen. So I had the pillows on one day, and then the next day I had Avenue Q. That's a great weekend, in my honest opinion.
Okay, so does everybody remember the first time they experienced, what is it called? Con depression?
Oh, yeah. God. That's actually a good way to, like, transition.
Con depression or con plague?
Con depression.
Con plague happens to everybody, and I'm sick right now, and...
Yeah, thanks.
I know, I'm trying to get my sickness out of the way before
can I,
we go down.
I forgot to, I'm sorry, can I add just one more thing to my experience?
Yeah.
But also in 2008, that's when I experienced the sadly no longer happening at Anime Boston anymore, hentai dubbings experience. And that was probably the most fun I had that entire
week. Oh, God,
weekend.
That...
Everybody remembers their first hentai dubbing.
I remember my... 2008 was also the first experience that I had with Happy Hardcore, or UK Hardcore, when Greg Ayres and Mark V and everything were doing the dance.
Oh, yeah,
I think
the
that
rave.
Was probably the second to last or probably last... dance that they actually have for probably safety reasons because kids are probably rolling on Molly or whatever. But I loved it because
all the drugs.
I didn't do drugs, but it's so weird that people just look at me and say like I love like rave music or like happy hardcore like 150 BPMs per minute. Like, you know, dance music. And I was like, what is this fantastic music? Let us dance. And I danced with girls. And I got to see Greg Ayres. And the fact that they melded anime music with, like, rave music. And they had, like, the anonymous kind of speech that, you know, that really creepy message that they did in the computer voice. Like, we are Legion. We are this. We will not forget. It's like they mixed that with, like, dance music and they went into, like, Scatman and everything. And I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on here? But both of those are no longer around. The dance and the hentai dubbing. It's weird that I remember last year I was actually hanging around with somebody that works at Harmonix and her husband works for Hasbro, but they were both like huge anime fans and hanging out. And then we bumped into Greg Ayers, who was drunk as hell with his handler. And I'm like, man, what happened? He's like, man, just Boston hates us because they shut down the dance. And then we moved it over to a club. And then the city of Boston shut us down and said we're no longer able to do it. So I'm like, that broke my heart.
They're just trying to keep maintain the safety of everybody who goes there, though. So, you know.
And I can understand that.
I mean, just look at the way that KatsuCon members treated the hotels there. That's basically how the rave people treated themselves. I mean, there were underage kids being wheeled out on stretchers because they were blackout drunk, you know.
Or high on some.
Yeah, that's not cool at all.
Yeah.
And that's why they had to get rid of it. Because it was too much of a legal liability.
They had to ruin it for everyone, I guess. Also, yeah. It's also really weird bringing up to little kids and everything, because live streaming anime games such as like Naruto or whatever, you get to, and reoccurring kids, because my demographic is anywhere between 11 and maybe 17, 18. And these kids are being exposed to a lot of really graphic anime stuff that is for a mature audience, and they start off really young. So a lot of these kids who enjoy anime that are probably your student's age are really disgusting.
What's good is that I have the opportunity to have those discussions with them of like, what's appropriate, what should you actually take to live your own life with, and maybe you shouldn't show this to your parents, or maybe you should keep this away from your 10-year-old little brother. And also, how do you also behave in a public convention like this? You know, so we get to have those. Unfortunately, they're mostly my theater kids, so we can have that kind of conversation.
Theater kids are the best, that's for sure.
But what people also seem to forget, too, is that, like, over in Japan, Naruto, Bleach, a lot of these shows that we see as for teenagers and adults, they are for the kids' demographic. Because over there, the kids are a lot more mature than our kids in our country.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, I would have to say that maybe Naruto equates for me probably to the Japanese public as kind of like G.I. Joe was to us when we were little kids. Because it's a cool anime. It's very not adult oriented other than like maybe the fighting. But also you learn stuff. It has in its roots. That's why I appreciate it so much, is because it has a message. Masashi Kishimoto and his message toward with Naruto to the community is a kid that won't give up, who beats all odds, who has confidence in himself, and his confidence and his just everything, his good nature, just a good kid, influences other kids, other people. That, you know, I'm here for you. Like, especially the whole relationship between him and Sasuke, never giving up on him as a friend. And mm-hmm. It's just like, idiot, you're never going to learn. He's like, I will always be your friend. And it's just such good natured. And I hate when it comes to America and it gets perverted. That's the reason why I feel so cringe-like when it's like, really? Did you really have to do this?
There are some fans
I think it's also our societal view of everything, too, is like, what's normal over there, and even some of the things that we think are perverted. I think Jonathan and I even had this conversation yesterday of how Japan is such an over-sexualized, I guess, like, culture, whereas, like, there it's normal, whereas here we're like, oh my gosh, voodoo, keep that away from us.
Yet their birth rate is so low.
Yeah, that's mainly what we're talking
about. And they sell creepy things at vending machines.
Yeah. Nice. Yes, and that's let's bring it right back to where, you know, the topic is, and that's a really good way to, you know, even as we get older, it's kind of a good thing to do to keep going to conventions so that we can convey that as, you know, times change, we can still instill remember where should be at.
Hopefully KatsuCon was a lesson, you know, like hopefully KatsuCon was a lesson that was like, well, I guess we shouldn't do that again. I mean, obviously we can't avoid that. Because there's immature children everywhere you go.
And there's going
to
be repercussions,
yeah,
for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they know who had those rooms. They know who was in those areas. Like, they charge you. They bill you. They have security cameras. What the heck? So,
I think that's a good place to...
Yeah, I think that is a good place to wind down a bit. And so with that, we're going to transition over into some fan service. We have some messages sent over us from the fans.
Yeah, who do we want to start with?
So our Wicked fan, Mike, sent us a cool thing. It was a cool little article saying that... how many of you played Fallout 4?
Yep.
My roommates play it and I watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch too.
Okay, so in Fallout 4, when you go to Diamond City, which is Fenway Park, there's
robot...
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
There's a robot kiosk there who sells Japanese food, specifically ramen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Japan has taken it upon themselves to sell the Robo Ramen. So they actually have Fallout 4 Robo Ramen instant ramen bowls in Japan.
That's cool.
Yeah, and you can actually... Yeah.
Does it taste like radiation?
Yeah, right. That's kind of what I said. I responded. I was just like, I haven't eaten it yet because I'm trying to avoid the rads. But you know,
you microwave a regular ramen bowl. You microwave for like about 2 minutes and it's ready to go. This one you microwave for like 10, and then you know it's over radiated with microwave.
Extra radiation flavoring, right?
Yeah.
Well, as to what we did last episode, Nerdy Show has a Patreon. And one of the reward tiers, if you pay $20, every month they will give you a shout-out on their show to whatever that you want to say. Well, we've had our first patron who has given us $20 a month, us as a Nerdy Show, to have a shout-out on Wicked Anime, which is awesome because, you know, this is like a good stroke of the ego. It helps us validate our life choices. And most of you know her if you saw her from our Anime Boston 2015 video. And she's also a very avid fan. She actually considers herself our number one fan. It's Allison Parent, who works the charity booth at Anime Boston. And so she gave us a shout-out message for this month. We did this on the last episode because we did it at the end of the month because we didn't get her message until later. Now it's the beginning of the month again, so we're going to give her another shout-out. And her message for this con month specifically is, to everyone attending Anime Boston, come help make the world a better place for those affected by multiple sclerosis. A donation to the Anime Boston charity booth will not only make a difference in the lives of those affected by MS, but will also give you a chance to win some super cool prizes. Come down to the dealer's room and check out some awesome gift sets, rare merchandise, and exclusive art. Thank you very much, Allison. She actually went on to let us know last year at Anime Boston 2015, the Multiple Sclerosis Society at the booth gained $24,331.
Wow.
That's like, a lot of money.
That's actually the most that Anime Boston has ever received. The year before that was $18,000. And they were hoping that for 2015 they were going to get $20,000. Well, the con goers blew it away. And they're hoping to increase it again this year. Which I think they could because the con attendance just keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
It does.
I mean, like, even before that, like, it was 18,000 in 2014. 2013 was 14,000. So it goes up at least, like, $4,000 a year to the Multiple Sclerosis Society of New England. Of New England or just the whole world? Maybe the whole world, I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a good charity.
It's a very good charity. It's
great charity.
Well, he looks. You'll probably find us over there, too, because we'll probably be visiting Allison a lot. Hi! She made me so happy that day. I kept going to say hi. This is like, holy crap, guys. Yeah. We actually have a fan in person here.
This is actually the message that she sent us. The first shout-out that we gave her was last episode, she said. So I'm not only promoting these guys because the episode contains an excellent, nearly 5-minute-long shout-out to me, their number one fan, nor just the amazing promotion about the charity booth at Anime Boston, but also because this entire show is super fun to listen to and filled with engaging commentary about current anime, conventions, Japanese culture, and weird shit that their fans send to them. Andrew and Jonathan had an amazing crew full of nerds that really know their stuff and know how to be entertaining. This series is heading into con month, so be sure to listen to upcoming episodes to start getting hype for convention season. That's like a super nice review.
I'm going to come hug you at that booth when I see you. Yeah. Just letting you know now.
We're very humbled. And one of the things that Nerdy Show wanted to let everybody know is now that you, like, one of the things that you can do is do reviews for us on iTunes. And that actually helps other people see us. Like, when you make a review, it helps other people see our show faster.
So you have homework, fans. Your homework is to go to YouTube and give us 5-star ratings and...
iTunes.
iTunes, not YouTube.
You said YouTube.
I said YouTube,
but subscribe to us on YouTube.
Oh, no, YouTube
too.
Is fine, too. Do YouTube, but we're talking about iTunes right now. Go to iTunes and find Wicked Anime, rate our show, and give us a review.
Yeah. So is that all we have for fan service?
That is all we have.
Thank you, everybody, for contributing your fan service. And how can they find our fan service? Or give us fan service. How can they give us fan service?
All right, so we're transitioning out of the show.
We are doing a transition. Why do you never find my segues?
Because I don't know if we're going to be like, yeah, I'm done now.
Their twin telepathy doesn't work all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's like an on and off thing. We can't control it.
So, if you guys would like to join in on our conversation here on Wicked Anime, if you would like to tell us your first convention stories... or whatever, you just want to send us a hi, Wicked Anime, hi. You can email us at wickedanimereviews, all one word, wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can chat with us or, you know, send us a cool message or look at our news stories that we post and share from around the internet. Usually when you guys send us a news story, we also share it back. So that's pretty fun. You can also find us at youtube.com, as I mentioned before, where you can, you know, rate, review, comment, whatever. And that's youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can, of course, find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. If you're not already listening to the podcast there.
Podcast,
specifically.
That's like what podcasts were in the 90s, except they were round discs.
Yeah, that's a dated joke.
Yeah.
Our audience doesn't get that.
Slammers.
You can... If you're not already listening to the podcast on iTunes or on SoundCloud-WickedAnime, which SoundCloud's booming. Holy crap.
Yeah.
You can also find us all around the internet. You can find us at Twitter, and you can tweet us at YoWickedAnime.
Which John did during this recording.
Yeah, in the middle of this recording, we got a tweet from John. You can find us on Tumblr at wickedanime.tumblr.com. And that's about it.
I think that's it.
We do have a Twitch channel. It's not up and running quite yet, but now that we have a whole bunch of... We have Street Fighter V, we have Naruto, we have all these things that we could stream right along. And you guys can come join us and watch us get absolutely destroyed. Until Tekken comes out. When Tekken comes out, we're done. Forget it. You guys are wasted. But I'm not going to be playing video games because I have Fire Emblem. So
you're not going to be playing video games because you're going to be playing video games.
Yeah, so like see you guys like next year because I'm going to be playing Fire Emblem forever. But I don't remember.
Think about it.
It was Patreon. Guys, so if you guys want to contribute to the Nerdy Show Patreon, please do. Because you can get shout-outs just like Allison did.
Yep. You can request that, too. Like, she had to request, hey, could I do this on
Yeah, could
Wicked
I get
Anime?
My shout-out read on Wicked Anime? And you know what?
Cap, we'll say yes.
Cap was like, heck yeah, you can. So we did. Now, that's it for us. Now, tell us about everybody else. Evan, you start. Tell us where we can find all
Evan's about to put you guys to shame.
All right. So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei for her Nazo Nazo Nyango segment, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on Anime Amino at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/OmNistryInc. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And for all the other sites under the Land of Esh, please be sure to visit the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, The Structure Network, and Nerd Crave. Boom! That's how you do it.
Hey man,
so well spoken.
Just because mine's more conversational doesn't mean it's inferior. I mean, come on. And John Brohawk Riley, where can the internets find you?
Hello everyone, how you doing? My name is John Riley. You can find me at Brohawk Riley on Twitter. I'm a Naruto fanatic and supporter of the multiplayer Naruto community. I have been for the last 5 years. Unfortunately, Bandai Namco and everybody, blah, blah, blah. They screwed up the game, and also they took out spectator mode. So I created a website to help the Naruto multiplayer live streaming community. Please go to katamen2.com, katamen2.com.
We'll have a link in the description for
yes,
you guys.
Yes, it is it's a Naruto spectator substitute. Katamen 2 is the Romanji. Katamen 2 is translated into English from Japanese. It means two-sided. So it does two different purposes. But pretty much as soon as you go there, you're going to be able to see a website. And so far, it has four Naruto live streamers right there with their Twitch live stream. So when we run a tournament, you're going to be able to see every player. So you do not, if you're viewing them as an audience, you do not have to look at a loading screen or a lobby screen. You can always see these people fighting like the spectator mode used to be. So
nice.
That's about it.
Sweet.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for this episode, and thank you fans for listening. I suppose we probably should have warned John that our ending was coming up, because he has no idea what's
going to happen. No, we never let our guests know.
But I guess it's time for us to sign off the only way we know how.
See you in the next episode, which is also Con Month.
K-Bye! K-Bye!
Let's jump in so fast.
I think like my biggest fear now, and I think now that I'm in a second year teaching at a high school, last year I saw some of my students at the con. Awkward. Fortunately, two of them saw me, and I was during opening ceremonies.
Did you threaten them? Just like, if you say anything.
No, but.
Wicked A! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes. Or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.